was assigned 14 hours to study the book of Ezekiel with you. And the first hour, we are going to do the introduction. And the last hour, we are going to summarize the whole book and give a conclusion. So there will be 12 hours left to cover the whole book of the book of Ezekiel. And how many chapters are there in the book of Ezekiel? 48, right? 48 divided by 12.
Four,
right? So every hour we have to cover 4 chapters. Which means you have to preview how many chapters per day? 4 chapters? Each day we have around 3 hours. So we have to preview at least 4 chapters. So today we are going to cover, I think, chapter 12. Tomorrow we are going to cover to chapter 24. So today you barely can cover it, right? So you are ready to 5 to 14. But tomorrow you have to cover to 24. And the teaching material only serve you as a reference. I'm not going to base on the teaching material. I'm going to base on the scripture. So it's more important for you to know the scripture than the teaching material. Because the scripture will follow you all the time. But after you finish the NYTS, you may just throw away the teaching material, right? So the teaching material only serves as a reference. Now let's see A5, the appendix. Before we go into study chapter by chapter, we have to have a bird's view about the whole picture of the book of Ezekiel. And before we go into the highlight of the whole book of Ezekiel, we would like to briefly expose ourselves in the historical background, so we know that what we are talking about when we study a lot of different names. There are many prophets in the Old Testament, and some prophets considered as a minor prophet, and some prophets considered as a major prophet. And the reason we consider them minor or major, not because of their which one is more superior or which one is more is inferior. It's because of the book they've been written. The major prophet contain more context in the prophecy in the book. So we consider Jeremiah, Isaiah, and the book of Ezekiel as a major prophet. And in the last 2 years, we studied the book of Isaiah, and the last year we studied the book of Jeremiah. And this year we are going to study the book of Ezekiel. And if you look into page A5, you are going to see that in the time of prophet, the Israelites were under the influence of superpower in that generation. The first one is Babylon, second one is Assyria, third one is Persian, and Medes. The Last one, in the time of Jesus, is the Roman Empire. And as what we still remember, that after King Solomon passed away, and his son succeeded him to become a king. And because his son refused to follow the request of the fellow citizen, so later on the kingdom split into two. The kingdom split into two, the main reason is because Solomon worshipped the idol. So God already predicted after his death, his kingdom is going to split into two. How many remain to be the kingdom for the descendant of Solomon? How many tribes? Two tribes, right? And that the kingdom of Solomon called Israel or called Judah? Judah, right? It's so-called southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom composed of 10 tribes. And who was the king? Jeroboam, right? And who was the king of southern kingdom? Rehoboam, right? So this is the beginning of the two countries after the death of Solomon. And if we turn into page A5. In the 734 BC, it was the time for the captivity of North Israel. That was the time of Hezekiah, the king of Hezekiah. And you look into the right column of A5, the prophet Elijah. As you know, that Elijah had the spirit and the power to reclaim the faith of Israelite from worshiping the idol. So there was a famine for 3.5 years. A lot of people died, a lot of widows in the country. So start from that time on, almost idolatry plagued the journey of Israelite, spiritual journey of Israelite. So God was so offended, because out of the Ten Commandments, the most serious sin is to worship idol, which is to challenge the sovereignty of the only one God. God was not allowed to be challenged, because he is the only one law of the Lord. So when the chosen people started to worship the idol, it aroused God's jealousy. It aroused God's wrath. But God is a God of mercy, so God continuously sent the prophet to warn them to come back to him. And after for a long period of the work of prophet, he proved everything seems futile, because their heart is hardened. Their heart has been deceived by the idol. So eventually, the impending judgment of God is coming. Coming to Jerusalem. And God is going to allow his chosen people to be captured, to go into exile, under captivity for 70 years. That was a very tragic experience. And that was a very dreadful experience in the history of the Israelite. The holy city was ruined. The holy temple was burned down, and the glory of God departed from them. The chosen people was abandoned by the one who chose them. And God's glory and power was no longer in that city. So that is the reason we need to study why. Because we are engaging ourselves in the spiritual journey, in the spiritual pursuit. We should not repeat the same history. If we learn a lesson from the history of the Israelites. So we are not Jews. Why we study on the Jewish history. The reason is the history in the Old Testament has some spiritual significance to serve as a warning to us. When we are marching towards the spiritual journey, we should learn a lesson from what they experienced. Page 86. Page 86, 721 BC is the end of Northern Kingdom. So the Northern Kingdom perished. And the fall of Assyria in 607 BC, and it is the rise of Babylon. After the superpower of Babylon dominate in that era, that was the time of the prophet Habakkuk and Obadiah serve as a prophet. So in that time, to serve the prophet is a very painful experience because the faith and morality keep on declining. And the warning of God keep on coming. So in that time to serve as a prophet is a very difficult job. And then in 606 to 586, Jerusalem was conquered and burned. From 606 to 536 is the 70 years of captivity, the remnant of Israel. Most of them been killed, but God purposely preserved a small number of them so that later on they can come back and survive and multiply and to become a big nation again. So 606 to 536 is a time for their captivity. While they were under captivity, there were two major prophets, Daniel and Ezekiel. And the fall of Babylon on 336 BC. And that was the rise of Persia. When it was a time of Persia, as you recall, the king of Persia was moved by God and sent a decree to the Israelites, you can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Who was the king?
Cyrus,
right? Cyrus. It was a very mighty work of God to move a foreign king, allow the people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Not only so, he promised to give them all different kind of means to rebuild the temple, the city. So they returned from captivity at 536 BC. And after they returned from captivity, there were Joshua and Zerubbabel, as you read the book of Zechariah. At that time, you can see the prophet of Haggai, the book of Haggai, is to urge the Israelites to come back again and to rebuild the temple, or Zechariah. Okay. After the temple being rebuilt in around 520 to 516 BC, then it come to the era of Israel and Nehemiah. So Joshua and Babel actually rebuilt the physical temple, material temple, and the physical city. But Israel and Nehemiah, they emphasize more than trying to rebuild their faith, something spiritual. So nowadays, it seems to build a material temple is not too difficult. But most difficult is after the chapel has been completed, how to build a spiritual palace of God. The the spiritual path is more important and it's more difficult. At that time, there was a prophet of Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament. And after the prophet Malachi, then is the beginning of the New Testament. So this is a chronicle, historical sequence and information for your reference. So if after you understand all the background historical information, it will help you to understand what's going on when we study the book of Ezekiel. Okay. Now we come back to page 81. Page A1, Ezekiel, the name of the prophet of God was strengthened, and this name is actually very meaningful, because if we go through the whole book of Ezekiel, you are going to see that without God to strengthen him, it was impossible for him to achieve his objective, to accomplish God's commission. So from beginning to the end, it was God who backed him up. It was God who strengthened him. So he was able to confront the rebellious chosen people and urge them to repent. So today in our church, quite often when we ordain a minister, we always try to give a minister a so-called sacred name. Why? Because it was signified the beginning of the new life of the ordained minister, and it also signifies that the particular sacred name has particular implication for the ordained minister to imitate. So in the church we have a lot of Daniel, right? We have a lot of John, we have a lot of Peter, but since nobody name is Judah, so that's the reason why we name our name after all the saints in the Bible. And his calling, from the Bible, we are going to study his calling. But we sum up his calling is, it was God who called him. Means it was God who wanted to use him. Yes, it's very important for us to have heart to serve God. But whether God wants to use us or not, is upon God's decision. So when a person being called by God, and you are responsive to the call of God, and that's the most blessing in your whole life, because you can serve God. As Paul mentioned in the 2 Corinthians, to serve God, you are serving as ambassador of Christ. You know, in 1960s, if you hold the American passport, you can travel everywhere. Everybody look at you. The American passport just like a gold passport. Not like today. Then you travel abroad in a Muslim country, you have to hide your passport. It's different. So if you're the ambassador of America in 1960, that's a tremendous glory. But America is nothing, right? It's decrying. If we look into God, so Almighty God, we can accept His calling and to serve Him. Even though you have to come through a lot of suffering, but in the eyes of God, that period of time is very precious, is very meaningful. The only one way can transcend the life of futility is to live a life to serve God, is to connect everything to God. Your energy, your time, your thought, everything, when it's related to God, will become very meaningful. Without God, everything becomes meaningless. So that was the reason Ecclesiastes from chapter 1 to chapter 11 is so pessimistic. Why? Because Solomon lived a life without God. So everything becomes vanity. And the first 11 chapters try to tear down our all the concept. Without God, my life still can be wonderful. That was wrong. And after the older concept have been rooted out, been torn down, and the new concept will be able to build up. And the new concept is to fear God and to keep His commandment and to serve Him. So B, the servitude. After God called Ezekiel, almost all his life, he served God faithfully. So we can learn from the servitude of Ezekiel in this book. Point C, his life. We are going to go into detail in our study of this book. Book summary. Book summary means the bird's view of the book. When the birds fly above, you are able to see the view of the whole city, again, the whole picture. Have you used a Google map? Yeah, right? When you click into the Google map, the bird is from satellite, very high, and come down, right? And you can zoom in into a particular city, particular street, and particular house. Before you zoom in, you see the whole picture of the city, right? So you know where you are, the whole picture. After you zoom in into a particular street and the building, you will never get lost. The same thing, when we want to study the book of Ezekiel, before you zoom into a particular sentence, verse, or keywords, you have to look it from very high above what the whole book is talking about. So we would like to summarize the book. A. The book of Ezekiel begins with the divine calling of Ezekiel in the era of captivity. So Ezekiel was being called in the time of captivity. In the most dreadful moment of Israel. Now, God called Ezekiel to convey his message to his people. Okay. And Ezekiel was commissioned to announce God's impending judgment on the rebellion nation. So his main mission is to announce God's judgment. Do you know? Everybody tries to announce the good news. How many of you like to announce the bad news? Nobody, right? No wonder all the prophets been persecuted. Why? Because they go everywhere, they announce the bad news. So in the book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 30, right? The Israelite was so tired about the bad news, the warning, God is going to punish them. So they urged Isaiah, just give us the good news. Just give us whatever we want to listen. Don't mention about the vision anymore. So they refused to accept this bad news. Since they refused to accept it, so they never repented. So God continued to send the prophet. So Ezekiel was commissioned to announce God's impending judgment on the rebellious nation. Instead of self-examination, self-reflection, what's wrong with me? Why the prophet keep on warning us to change, to repent? Instead of this, they persecute the prophet and kill the prophet. And the desolation of Jerusalem. So eventually, the prophet Ezekiel declare a very clear message. The desolation of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the temple of God was there. As you remember in the book of Jeremiah, the Israelites remind themselves, this is the temple of God, this is the temple of God. So they thought, the temple of God is here. So we are secure, no matter what happened. God is not going to allow his temple to be ruined. Because the temple is God, is here, so we are saved. And the prophet of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, just tried to tell them, no. If you don't want to change, even the temple of God will be ruined, will be burned down, the holy city will be destroyed. but they did not believe. They did not buy it. So Ezekiel conveyed the message of the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay. After the Jerusalem had fallen, means the justice of God has been done. The wrath of God has been pouring down to them. Then God conveys another total different message to them. And the message tried to convey God's another characteristic, which is God's mercy. So Ezekiel's message turned to Lord's consolation and hope of his people. So in the book of Ezekiel, we can see God exercised judgment and God also exercised his mercy. So God is a God of justice and God is a God of compassion. And the justice and compassion go hand by hand. So from the whole book of Ezekiel, as well as Jeremiah, as well as Isaiah, you can see God is a God of merciful God. For example, in the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapter is talk about God's judgment. After 39, from chapter 40 to 66, is talk about God's blessing, the future glory of his kingdom. So our Heavenly Father is a Father of justice, is a Father of mercy. So anyone who is spiritual should acquire these two kinds of divine character, justice and mercy. You should not just accept one and abandon another one. We should have very balanced characteristics. Okay. And they would experience revival, restoration, and glorious future as a redeemed and perfected kingdom of God. So the book of Ezekiel started with the warning of impending judgment for the people in that generation. But when we go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 40, the vision of the new Jerusalem, you are going to see all the nine chapters are not talking about something material. The last nine chapters is talk about something spiritual. The spiritual new Jerusalem is going to be built. And this spiritual new Jerusalem actually is a temple of God, is a kingdom of God, and is the true church, and is a true Jesus church. So we have to understand the history of the tabernacle. Originally, when the Israelites traveled in the wilderness, God urged them to build up the tabernacle, right? What was the purpose of the tabernacle? God will descend on the tabernacle and will work together with men. And men were able to interact with God in the tabernacle. Right? And later on, that tabernacle evolved into the temple built by Solomon. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of God was filled with the temple. Even the priest was not able to stand. So that was the moment they experienced abundant blessing of God. And you look into Solomon's prayer of dedication. He requests God that if we sin against you when we come to the temple, we pray in your name, please forgive us. Right? If we have any difficulty, we come into this temple and we pray with your name, please listen and help us. And the temple is filled with glory, means God accepted his prayer. So temple become a place where God and the Israelite meet each other. So if you study the book of Numbers, when they settled the tent in the wilderness, all all the camp is surrounding on what? Tabernacle. So tabernacle serves as the center of your life. So today, that tabernacle and that Solomon's temple typify the church, the true church, the kingdom of God. So in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit descended in the world. In Acts chapter 2, the kingdom of God was established. The church had been established. And that church is the true church. It's a church built by the later rain, the true Jesus church. So Ezekiel actually is related to the true Jesus church from chapter 40 to 48. The prediction of a glorious and perfected kingdom of God, the true church. So this is a summary of the whole book. We look into B. The book contain four visions and 12 symbolic acts and 5 messages in parable. This try to help us to understand the whole book. 4 visions. The first vision is a vision of Ezekiel's calling, the inauguration vision. In chapter 1 to chapter 3. And chapter 8 to 11 is a vision of corrupted temple. How did God deal with his temple? How did God view about his temple from above? It's so different from the people in the world view God's temple. 3C. The vision of the dry bone resurrected in chapter 37. D. The vision of the new Jerusalem from 40 to 48. So 40 to 48 actually is a prophecy. It's a prophecy of the kingdom of God, which means the church. So the book of Ezekiel has some eschatological significance. B2, 12 symbolic acts. Actually, God asked prophet Ezekiel to do 12 actions in his life, and use the 12 actions try to symbolize what God is going to do to his chosen people. Because sometimes God's will is too abstract to understand, but when it becomes action, it's easier to understand, right? So no one has ever seen God, John chapter 1, but the only begotten Son revealed to us what is God. If you look into Jesus Christ, you will understand what is God. So Jesus said, you know me, you know God. Right? Because God is me. I am in God. I am in God. I and God are one. So the 12 symbolic acts is trying to help us to understand the abstract way of God. The first symbolic act in chapter 3, we talk about the act to the rebellion house. We're going to study that later on. The second symbolic act is the siege Jerusalem. The third one, symbolic act, I would like to ask you, because you already previewed it, right? God asked Ezekiel to lie down on the right side how many days? How many days? Lie down on the right side, how many days? 390 days. How about lie down on the left side, how many days? 40 days, right? And it's right. From now on, until the NYT is only light up on the right side of the evening. You cannot change, right? Only one side. I bet you in the morning you cannot get up. Right? Your whole body is going to sour, right? Peace out. And Isaiah, Ezekiel has to lie down 390 days in one side. So this symbolic act itself is very difficult to achieve without the help of God. And this is trying to typify the Israelite has sinned against God for what? 390 years. And the southern kingdom Judah has sinned against God for 40 years. So this is symbolic act. Lying down on both sides. And D has sinned, stink, vegetarian diet. God instructing him to use a special way to what? Make a bread and bake by what? Oxen dung, right? So his smell is no good. You don't eat that. So to be a prophet is not easy. You just go there and convey a message, you come back to live in a five-star hotel. Not that kind of style. Next one, to shave head and beard. God commanded him to shave his head and beard in order to signify something spiritual. The next one, the exile baggage, and ask him to carry the baggage out and use this action to convey some message. And the next one is anxious eating. Everybody want to relax and enjoy a meal. But God command him to eat anxious, which is to convey a message. The next one is groan with broken heart and bitter grief. This is one of the symbolic acts. The death of Ezekiel's wife in 24. And even Ezekiel's wife died, but God said, you should not mourn, you should not weep. And use this as a symbolic act, referring to the beloved one of the chosen people, the Jerusalem, is going to be dead, and there should not be more. The next one, the writing on the stick, chapter 37. Okay, so there are 12 symbolic acts in the whole book. The next one is 5 messages in the parables. Chapter 15 talk about the useless vine to typify the Israelite. The next one, the unfaithful bride to typify Jerusalem. The next one, chapter 17, two eagles and a vine. The two eagles, one represent Babylon, the another one represent Egypt, and that vine represent the Israelite. So this is in parable. And the next one, the trapped lion. The lion is very mighty, but he was trapped. So the chosen people, the Israelites are like a lion, but they have been trapped because God allowed it to happen to punish them. The next one, the two adulterous sisters. One of them is Jerusalem, the Israelite. So there are 5 messages in parables. And in the book of Ezekiel, there are several themes. The main topics, and we will study the theme one by one. And in the whole book, you can see they will know that I am the Lord. The whole book mentioned 65 times. they will know that I am the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, the term of the Holy One of Israel was mentioned 26 times. The Holy One of Israel was mentioned 26 times from the beginning to the end. And they will know that I am the Lord. Had been mentioned 65 times from the beginning to the end. So if compare these two books, actually, they try to stress the same point. And that point is the Holy One of Israel, the only one God, the creator of the universe, should be known and should be acknowledged. So this is one of the very important things. Because in that generation, they failed to know and acknowledge the Holy One of Israel, the only mighty God. They only know idols. So God used different way to let them know, I am the Lord. So later on we are going to categorize this term into several ways to understand how did God make them know, I am the Lord. God will be revealed in the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of temple. From verse 1 and chapter 1 to chapter 24, it talks about God himself will be revealed. They will understand God in the fall of Jerusalem and destruction of the temple. And 25 to 32, the nation will know God through his judgment. So the first one is talk about his own people. The second one talk about the non-chosen people, the pagan is going to know God through his judgment. And 33 to 48, God will be known through the restoration and spiritual renewal of Israel. Means God will be known when he has shown his mercy and blessing again. And what A and B, God will be known when he exercises justice and punishment. So we can know God in two ways. If you are obedient and close to God, God bless you and you know there is God. But if we try to be stubborn, our heart is hardened, we will know God in another way. When God tries to chastise you, you suffer and you repent, you will know God. They will know that I am the Lord in 65 times and in two ways. Experience God's justice or experience God's mercy. In two ways. Okay? So time is up. Let's bring it up.